this week's address mentions that every time a certain tonic had to see the Roman authorities, he was wont to delve into the Seder of Vayishlach in order to find therein a clue as to the plan.
That the Tanna was to take in talking to the Roman authorities. And the Medrash also mentions that when Rabbi Yehuda Anossi had to address a letter to Antoninus, he first looked through the Seder of Vayishlach. The Medrash mentions one story that one letter he addressed Antoninus with the caption, Mi'avdecho Yehude le'yadoi mi Antoninus. Some of his disciples were critical of this self-imposed servility, and they even had the audacity to mention it to him in so many words that it is not befitting a leader of Jewry to address a Roman ruler in such a servile manner. And he answered, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi answered, am I better than Yaakov Avinu? If it was befitting for Yaakov to address Esau, it is certainly befitting Yehuda Anossi. This means that the Seder of Vayishlach, which contains the story of Yaakov's return to Eretz Yisrael, as well as his confrontation with Esau, constitutes a guide to the Jews throughout the generations as to our demeanor towards the non-Jews. Of course, for the Jews in the time of Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, it was only necessary to delve into Vayishlach to take notice of the approach taken by our forefather only on certain occasions. Ordinarily, those Jews did not have to mingle with the non-Jews. They led an isolated life. Today, however, there is not one day in our lives when we are not confronted with the children of Esau. We are constantly compelled to mingle with them. Consequently, it is incumbent upon us to delve thoroughly into this week's Seder. The Seder commences with the message of peace and love that Yaakov sent to his brother Esau. And the message of peace opens with the following words, Koisem rin la doin ilayis. Koyom aravdicho Yaakov, im lovon garti voeicha ados. Our sages found in this expression of in lovon garti voeicha adoto the reason for Jacob's, and when I say Jacob, I don't mean only Jacob, but I also mean Jacob's descendants, for Maati Yaakov, if he's similarly bonim. The reason for Yaakov's and Yaakov's descendants' ability to survive among the nations of the world, as a unique nation. I'll say to say that the expression Lorangati has two meanings. First of all, it means I was a geyer while I stayed with Lavan. Consequently, you have no reason to hate me. When I say this, I have a geyer. 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 This is one meaning. Another meaning, which on the surface does not seem to be in line with the literal meaning of the expression Dati Bigamatria Tayak. The numerical value, and not only the numerical value, but the letters of Dati correspond with the letters of Tayak. Kelema in Lovon Horosho Dati Vitayak Mitri Shomati Vilomariti Mimahasafaroi. Now the first interpretation we can understand. Yaakov is telling Esau, according to the first interpretation of this expression, that he has no reason to hate him. And he has no reason to be afraid of him. Because he has been a geyer, and he is not likely to become a master over Esau. But what is the meaning of the second explanation? Will that induce Esau to shower love upon Yaakov because of the fact that Yaakov has in the past persevered in his endeavor to comply with the dictates of God? On the contrary, this message of Imovon Orasho Garti Vitayag Mitzvah Shomarti Velolomadeti Nimaisa Varoim can only tend to impress Esau with the notion that it is impossible for Esau and for Esau's children to live together with Yaakov and Yaakov's children, simply because Yaakov is obstinate. Yaakov will never agree to become integrated within the general community, to assimilate himself, to adapt himself to Esau's ideas. Of course, Yaakov was bent with perseverance to comply with all the dictates of the Torah. But why did Yaakov have to tell Esau at the first moment when he was attempting to gain the goodwill and love of Esau, when such a message at first blush seems to achieve the opposite result? But it seems that herein our sages try to convey the idea that the problem of anti-Semitism cannot be solved by any attempt on the part of Yaakov to adapt himself to the ways of Esau. The Medrash says on this week's Seder, in connection with the pasuk of Vayoretz Esau Likrosei Vayichapkeyu Vayipeir Al Tzavorov Vayishokeyu Vayifku, there are certain dots on top of Vayishokeyu. One time the Medrash says that the reason for these dots is because the kiss and the kisses and the embraces of Esau were not sincere. Another Tanya, however, says the these particular kisses and embraces were sincere. And he expresses himself in a very remarkable manner. Halacha l'meisha misinai she'esof seimeyat Yaakov elo she'beis isho nichmiru rachmov al Yaakov. Generally it is true in Halacha l'meisha misinai that Esav dislikes Yaakov, but at that particular moment he was motivated by feelings of compassion and love toward him. This is the reason as to why the Reishakeo has that. In order to indicate that this particular kiss and embrace of Esav, even though it was sincere, and it was at that moment in consonance with his inner feelings, was not in consonance with the general trend of it. Now, in order to understand the real meaning of this mimer, we have to take notice of a certain remark made by the Rambam in his Hakdamah to the Peirush HaMishnah. The Rambam there discusses the concept of Halacha L'meisha Misinai, and he mentions that one should not be misled into the notion that inasmuch as our sages designate only certain halachas by the appellation of Halacha L'meisha Misinai, that it consequently follows that all the other halachas were not Mikubal L'meisha Misinai. The number of halachas designated as Halacha L'meisha Misinai in so many words are few. You can count them on your fingers. Does that mean that all the other halachas were not Mikubal L'meisha Misinai? Then there is no Torah Shebaal Peh. The whole Torah Shebaal Peh in its entirety was Mikubal L'meisha Misinai. Why then do our sages refer only to a few halachas? Is Halacha L'meisha Misinai like the Halacha Ibut Mizuzo? Vishmo Halacha L'meisha Misinai, Shiotut Halacha L'meisha Misinai. When the whole Torah Shebaal Peh is Halacha L'meisha Misinai. So the Rambam gives the answer that two, the whole Torah Shebaal Peh is Mikubal L'meisha Misinai. But when a certain halacha can be deduced by means of the Yudgim Umidu Yishafir on the Rashi's Bayan, like the halacha that Ketef is effective in the Dush, that was also Mikubal L'meisha Misinai. The halacha of Ayin Tachasayim means money, not money. It was also Mikubal L'meisha Misinai. But these are halachas that can be deduced by the various techniques of the Torah Shebaal Peh, by the Midrash HaTeilah and Rashi there. Consequently, Chazal do not refer to these halachas, halachas L'meisha Misinai. The concept of Nigeh, of Rov, of Chazoke, like Chazoke and Freya v'Sirt Mane, and all the numerous halachas mentioned in Zikin and Noshin, which can be deduced by means of common sense and logic, through the application of deductive and inductive reasoning, are also Mikubal L'meisha Misinai, but they are not referred as Halacha L'meisha Misinai, simply because they are based upon thought, upon logical deduction. But whenever our sages mention a halacha that is not based upon the Yudgim Umidu Shatiran Tashete, nor can it be deduced inductively or deductively through the reasoning processes, then our sages will designate these as Halacha L'meisha Misinai. In other words, Halacha L'meisha Misinai has reference to a concept that cannot be explained by means of logic, by means of common sense. Gudakik mechitzta. Halacha l'meishmishim. We have to consider a mechitze that actually extends only 10 tefachim and see if it extended above. After the rotia. Can it be explained? We cannot understand it. It is beyond the inquisitive grasp of human understanding. But this is our connection with tonight. We have to conceive it as such. It cannot be conceived any other way. This is true of the well-known Mitzius. It's a matter of Mitzius. It's not a deen. That Aesop Soinelia. In the heart of Aesop, there are certain prejudices against Yah. Psychologists have written books as to the cause of this prejudice, but no one is able to explain. The more you write as to the cause of anti-Semitism, the more nonsense you can conjure up. It cannot be explained. It's a halacha relation here. It's beyond the grasp of human understanding. Now, many tried to understand the phenomenon of anti-Semitism, and actually the name anti-Semitism is an inaccurate name, because according to the name, then all those who dislike Jews should also dislike Arabs, should dislike Nasser and the Mufti. But it seems that all the anti-Semites cleave unto the other Semites. They aim their arrows only at Jews. It's not anti-Semitism, it's anti-Jewishism. But we'll use this term. Try to understand anti-Semitism on the basis of the difference of the Jew. A person dislikes someone who is different than he is. And this is true. There are many whites who are prejudiced against the Negroes because the color of the skin is different. But if this had been so, then hatred and prejudice towards the Jew should be applied only towards those Jews who are really different than the non-Jews. But it should not be shown towards the Jews who try to assimilate themselves and who try to wipe out any vestige of Jewishness. Now there are so many Jews who are so influential in Jewish life, who are ashamed of their Jewish origin. Not long ago, I read an article by a writer in the commentary, and he says that in his opinion, and I think that this writer was a very important officer in the Federation, I don't remember whether the president, whether he is a former president or a former vice president of the Federation. So he writes that in his opinion, the endeavors on the part of the Jews throughout the generations toward Jewish survival was not worth one hair on the head of one infant. He writes such an article in the commentary. Now, but the anti-Semites will dislike this kind of Jew as much as they'll dislike Satmar Hasim, maybe more. So it is not the difference of the Jew that motivates the anti-Semites into hatred and prejudice. What then is the cause? The answer is, how long will Mishnah?
We do not know.
But one thing can be determined on the basis of empiricism. Maybe not on the basis of light, but on the basis of empiricism it can be determined. With that, beyond any doubt, that whereas it is impossible for Jews to gain the genuine love of Esau, of the children of Esau. And when I say the children of Esau, I do not mean Daskin, the biological children of Esau. Because just as there is a halacha that every human being who is nichmas tachas kanfiyat shechina, whether he's of Puerto Rican origin, of Negro origin, or Italian origin, of French origin, of German origin, is considered spiritually child of the Orient. So also there is halacha that every non-Jew is a spiritual child of Israel. The Negro is the white, all the non-Jews are the spiritual children of Israel. It's impossible to gain the genuine love of the children of Israel. But it is possible for the Jews to commend the respect of the children of Israel. And our sages say it in so many words in their comment in the Medrash Eicha on the last psukim of Eicha. Hashiveinu Avishem Milecho v'inoshuvo chareish yomeinu kikedem ki moich miyastanu kotachto leinu amiyot. Now what is the connection between the pasuk of Hashiveinu and the pasuk of Ki Mois Miastonu Kotzavto Lingami? The practice among the Jews is that whenever we read Eicha, so after Ki Mois Miastonu Kotzavto Lingami, we repeat Hashiveinu Adishem Elecho Vinoshu. Because we do not want to conclude with Idvar Poronius. Now why did Yirmiyah conclude with Idvar Poronius? If Jews are so reluctant to conclude with Idvar Poronius, apparently there is a connection between the pasuk of Hashiveinu Adishem Elecho Vinoshuvo Chadesh Yomeinu Kikedem and the pasuk of Ki Mois Miastonu Kotzavto Lingami. And I will say to say, In Ketef Bilvach Yesh Kinegdeinu יש תקווה, אבל אם מניסו יש כאן, אין תקווה. If it is only a question of dislike, of resentment from the children of Esau towards the Jews, then there is hope. Then there can be peaceful coexistence between Jews and non-Jews. But if there is contempt from the non-Jews towards the Jews, then ain't equal. And God forbid there is no hope. Jews ought not aspire towards the love of Esau that they will never regain until the Messianic days. No matter how hard they try, no matter how much severity they will show towards the Ubisayon, they will not regain the love. But it is possible for the Jews to gain the respect of the non-Jews. And once we gain the respect of the non-Jews, then we are bound to emerge victorious. Because if it is only a matter of ketef, of antagonism, of resentment, of dislike, Yesh Tikva. And we know that the ultimate victory, the ultimate moral victory is on our side. But if Yisrael Yishtan, if Jews deport themselves in such a manner that they will arouse contempt towards them in the heart of the non-Jews, then Antikva, then they will be dislike coupled with contempt, and dislike coupled with contempt He's very dangerous. Now, the French people, traditionally, has been hostile towards the German people. But war, the Frenchmen humiliated, pillaged and robbed and killed by the Germans, the way the Jews were. Why not? Well, the answer is very simple. Because the Germans had hostility and the resentment and antagonism toward the French people. But they did not have any contempt. They had respect for the French people. We have to aspire towards the regaining of respect towards the Jew. And how can a Jew command the respect of the non-Jew? Not by trying to adapt himself to goodwill, yes, but as I mentioned in the Ashkofishir on Parsha Vayeo, I think it was, that we always have to draw a distinction between association in friendship and association in fellowship. We have to show goodwill toward the non-Jews. We are bound to show goodwill, not only toward those non-Jews who are not pagan, even towards pagan non-Jews. Mi farmisin ani yakum im angi yiskoyal, mi pleidaki sholeim, mi nachamim azeli akum akum doesn't mean a goy, akum means a pagan. Mi nachamim akum yakum im angi yiskoyal, mi pleidaki sholeim. מבקרים עמי יחו, מבקרים חיל יחום, עם חיל ישראל, עם דרכי שואלים. Association in friendship, that has to be extended toward all non-Jews, regardless of race, creed, or color, or station in life. It has to be extended even to those who are not morally superior, even to those who are morally delinquent. Association in friendship toward sinners can only tend to elevate the one that is helped as well as the helper. But we should always be on guard against association with non-Jews and even with irreligious Jews in fellowship. Now, this distinction between association in friendship and association in fellowship is implicit in the expression garati. Yaakov did not say in lovon garati. Bior, the term bior, implies not only association in friendship, but also association in fellowship. Husband and wife, father and children, father and mother and children, live in one diyor. Garati, however, also means to live, to stay. But garati means when one stays with another, but he always feels that he is a stranger. Stranger, one who feels in his heart that he is a stranger, will indulge in association and friendship. But he'll always be unable to associate in fellowship because he doesn't feel at home. He couldn't meet with someone with whom he doesn't feel at home. He can help him. He can try to lift his spirit, even if he feels a stranger toward him, but he will never be able to associate in fellowship with someone that is a stranger to him. is how Yaakov associated with Lot. Yaakov worked very hard for Laban. He did not have any nights when he was comfortable. He was loyal to Laban. He was devoted to him. He associated with Laban in friendship. But he was always a guest. He could not associate with Laban in fellowship. And if we associate with Laban in fellowship, then Laban is bound to have contempt for us. And the most you can expect from Laban, if Yaakov associates with Laban in fellowship, is to wring from the lips of Laban the words, the Jew is as good and as bad as the non-Jew. The maximum that you can wring from the lips of Laban through association and fellowship. But even when you wring this remark from the lips of Laban, it is still an insincere remark, because intellectually he might feel that the Jew is not worse than the non-Jew. The non-Jew, as the Italians in America have given a substantial percentage of criminals, and the Jew have given a substantial percentage of delinquents and criminals. He will, with his lips, he'll say that we should not feel that the Jew is worse, but in his heart he will be moved by prejudice. And the more we associate with Laban in fellowship, the more we drink together with Laban, the more we dance together with Laban, the more contempt they'll have for Yaakov. Now, this is the first lesson that is to be deduced from the Seder Vayishlach. And this has very concrete application to our life. Now, the question sometimes comes up, should we integrate ourselves with the non-Jews, with the irreligious Jews, in certain matters? Well, the answer would be, insofar as association and friendship is concerned, insofar as support for hospitals is concerned, we should not keep aloof. Insofar as support and maintenance of institutions for patients who are physically or mentally ill is concerned, we have to be united. We have to support the federations insofar as the support goes for hospitals. But insofar as association in fellowship is concerned, insofar as support for an institution like Educational Alliance is concerned, an institution which of late has become a chief instrument of assimilation, an institution which aspires to assimilate Jews with non-Jews, and where some of the leaders are fighting against those youngsters who refuse to have dancing corps for Jews only, because that is not in consonance with the American spirit of democracy. In regard to an institution like Educational Alliance, where nuns are engaged as the teachers for the children, then we have to say, the more we associate with in fellowship with Puerto Rican children, Italian children, and Chas V'Shalom, I'm not prejudiced against them, we should try to help these children. And if we want to give money for the maintenance of separate programs of entertainment for these children. Then this is a laudable feat. But to establish integrated programs of entertainment for Jewish children and Italian children, that can only be conducive to intermarriage and to conversion. And only a week ago I received a telephone call from a certain rabbi, and he told me that one of the graduates of a certain well-known Yeshivat Tana in Conan Island intermarried because the boy was advised to go to a Y. And whom did he meet in the Y? Non-Jewish girls. And that is done under the guise of love and fellowship and goodwill. And will we be able to regain the respect of the non-Jews for this kind of association and fellowship? No, we can only regain the contempt. And it can only aggravate the prejudice that exists within the heart of all non-Jews. And then Yaakov receives the report that Esau is coming out against him with a group of 400 soldiers who are armed not for the purpose of peaceful coexistence, but rather for the purpose of warfare. And Yaakov did everything humanly possible to ward off a physical conflict. But he took all the precautionary measures to face any eventuality. He sent gifts to Esau, and he divided, and he prayed to God, and he divided his camp into two divisions. And then Yaakov crossed all the members of his household to the other side of Yabok. Yaakov remained alone, as the Torah points out, Vayivosa Yaakov Levada. And then something happened. A mysterious person approached Yaakov and he struggled with him until the breaking of the dawn. At the break of dawn, this mysterious person realized that he will not be able to prevail against Yaakov, and consequently this mysterious person touched Yaakov at the hollow of his thigh. Of which Yaakov's thigh became overstrained, as a result of which Yaakov started limping. And then Yaakov refused to let the mysterious person go until he gave him his blessing of Likoishim Hoyakov Kim Yisrael Kisovisoim Lekim Vimanoshim Batur. The Torah is very brief in respect to the identity of this mysterious person. It only intimates that this mysterious person was an angel. Our sages, however, penetrated deeply into the meaning of this incident and into the identity of this mysterious person. Mihoyo, the Medrash asks, various answers are given. One rabbi gives the answer that he was a malach who disguised himself, b'malach anvua, in the garb of a listi, hiacholistos nidnalo. He appeared to him in a prophetic vision in the form of a bandit. A bandit with a club in his hand, ready to kill and to rob, to pillage and to murder. Another rabbi says, Tiakum Nidmale. This mysterious person appeared to Yaakov in the form of a pagan. Another rabbi says, Kitomit Chacham Nidmale. He appeared in the garb of scholarship and wisdom by using philosophy and intellectual falsity. This representative of Esau, the Solish of Esau, tried to convert Yaakov. And then another rabbi says, Tireyetei, the Solish of Esau, the representative of Esau, appeared to Yaakov in the form of a shepherd, under the guise of faith and salvation, and in the name of morality and love, he tried to convert Yaakov. And all through the night, this Solish of Esau has been struggling and contending with Yaakov, but he could not prevail. And even at the break of dawn, when the representative of Esau saw the light, he still persevered in his struggle with Yaakov. But Yaakov refused to let him go. It is true that as a result of this struggle, this struggle that took place after, in the time of dawn, Yaakov became crippled. Yaakov did not become crippled throughout the struggle that took place through the night, but only through the struggle that took place in daylight, while the representative of Esau was enlightened. Then Yaakov became crippled. He became crippled, but Yaakov still persevered in his resistance towards the demands that are imposed by the representatives of Esau. And he did not let him go until Yaakov was able to wring from the lips of Esau the bracha of Vayikore Vayakev Yom Erechimcha Ki Im Yisrael Ki Sovitso Im Rekim Im Anoshim Vatuho. Our sages say, as I mentioned so many times, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov, Yaakov Ato Simon Libanecho, Yaakov, you are a symbol for your children. All these incidents and all these vicissitudes that overtook Yaakov happened were manipulated by Providence in order that the children of Yaakov will be able to know how to deport themselves in their confrontation with the children of Esau. Yaakov did not have to suffer so much. It was only for the purpose that Yaakov might be a guide for the future generations that he suffered so much. And he was overtaken by so many vicissitudes. What happened to Yaakov in this trouble, which according to the Rambam was only Dumara Amvua, happened actually to the children of Yaakov. Throughout the long and dark night of exile, representative of Esav has been struggling with Yaakov. In different form, there were times when the representative of Esav was disguised, or not disguised, I should say, was dressed. That was the genuine dress of Esav. When the representative of Esav was dressed in the garb of a bandit who killed and who pillaged, and the representative of Esav through the Crusades tried to force Yaakov into spiritual surrender. But Yaakov did not come. There were times when Yaakov, when the representative of Esav was dressed in the garb of scholarship and intellectuality, and through falsity, this representative of Esav, and through intellectual prejudices and sophistry, he tried to convert Yaakov. And there are still today such representatives of Esav. An excellent example is the so-called Italian Tombi. While dressed in the garb of scholarship and wisdom, philosophy and history, he tries to convert the Jews. And of course, there were times, many times throughout the generations, when the representative of Esau was dressed in the garb of a shepherd, who was trying to take all the lost children, the lost sheep of Israel, under his protection, and to bring salvation to these lost souls. But at the break of dawn, with the collapse of the ghettos, and with the declaration of freedom, democracy, liberty and equality for all, the representative of Esau still tried to convert Jacob. But this time, the representative of Esau employed a different approach. Now, Vayevach has two meanings. The Mephoshim say, Vayevach Ishimei. One meaning of Vayevach is, he threw dust into the eyes of Yaakov. Avok, Samavok. That was the approach that was taken by the biggest among Esav, who tried to convert Yaakov through bigotry and through prejudice. But at the break of dawn, the Vayevach, the struggle, assumed another form. Then it acquired the meaning of embracing. Then it was a rendezvous with the Shalishov. A rendezvous that is externally backed up by love and goodwill, by integration and friendship and fellowship. And whereas in the struggle that took place in the darkness, in the Middle Ages, Yaakov did not become crippled, but in the struggle that took place after emancipation, Yaakov became crippled. And as I mentioned last week, there are two kinds of Nisoyenes. One Nisoyen is the Nisoyen of the Mizbeach. One Nisoyen is the Nisoyen of the Matevo. stove. We stood the test of the Mizbeach very well, but Yaakov did not succeed so much in the test of the Matzivo. But in spite of any crippling that was forced upon Yaakov, Yaakov still persevered. These endeavors brought privilege with the God of Israel, and in his striving toward the land of Israel. And what did the Torah Esau try to achieve at the break of dawn? He had one aim, and that will explain the reason as for Yaakov's perseverance in reading this specific blessing from the lips of the Torah Esau. He was bent upon reading this specific blessing. Apparently, the Torah Esau wanted Yaakov's name to be only Yaakov and not Israel. Yaakov and Esau represent two different concepts. Yaakov means Yodei Yocheded Bat Esau. Yaakov represents the children of Yaakov as holding on to the heel of Esau, always trying to integrate themselves and associating themselves with Esau. Yisrael, however, represents a different concept, an antithetical concept, namely Kisorisor in Elikim Rimanoshim Vatuhal. Now there are two explanations as to Elikim. According to interest, so it's Elikim. It's Kodesh. It is reference to God. And the Yin means the first Yin, according to interest, means before. The second Yin means against. According to interest, Kisorisor in Elikim Rimanoshim Vatuhal means for thou hast driven before God and against men, and thou hast prevailed. So the first theme has the meaning of before God, as shown against God. And the second theme has the meaning of against people. According to Yenis and Benizir, and according to the Rambam, it means, for thou hast driven against angels, and against men, and thou hast prevailed. But whatever explanation we accept, the meaning is the same. But let us explain first according to the meaning mentioned in Unkos. The Talikim is reference to God, it's Kodesh. And the Inoiki means before God. What does it mean? Kiso Kiso in Malikim Rimanoshim Vatuchal. Thou hast struggled before God and against man. In other words, a limitation is imposed upon Yaakov's right to struggle against Esau. Only before God he had the right to struggle against Esau. In respect to matters of principle, on a spiritual and on a moral level, then Yaakov has the right, and it is incumbent upon him to struggle against Esau. If Esau tries to convert him, and Yaakov is to refuse and to resist with dignity and courage any attempt at assimilation, whether it comes from biological descendants of Esau, or it comes from spiritual descendants of Esau, who biologically might be descendants of Yaakov. Before God, we have to struggle against people. It doesn't say Vim Goyim Vatuchal, Kisorisem Lekim Vim Goyim Vatuchal, Vim Anoshim Vatuchal. Before God we have to struggle against men. On a spiritual and on a moral level we have to struggle, not as we show them physically, but morally we have to struggle. But on a material level, if no spiritual issue is involved, Then we don't have to struggle against a soft allowed to struggle. We have no right to struggle. And if we do struggle against Aesop on a material and civic level, then we are bound to gain the contempt of Aesop. By struggling, however, on a spiritual level against Aesop, we are bound to gain the respect of Aesop. Before God, we have to struggle against Aesop. But if it's not before God, if it's on a material level, on a civic level, on a social level, on an economic level, then there can be integration with Aesop. There is no reason for any struggling. And according to that explanation, the meaning is the same. According to the Rambam, it's Chayo, it's Elohim. It means Malochim, and it represents the forces of nature. A Jew is to counteract the environment, the physical environment, and the social environment, on a spiritual and moral level, of course. Adaptability is a very important quality, man. It is a very important quality in the whole animal kingdom. It is through the application of this quality of adaptability that the various species in the animal kingdom were able to preserve themselves. And men too can restore to adaptability on a physical level. But on a spiritual level, man is not to resort to the quality of adaptability. Man is not to adapt himself to the environment. A Jew is to say, before God, we have to struggle against nature and against man. We cannot allow ourselves to be swayed by the instincts that rage within us. This was the endeavor of the Soishal Aesop, who is disguised in the robe of a pagan. And of course, paganism has a great appeal and a lot of glamour to the Jew. But we have to resist this appeal. We have to adjust ourselves spiritually to the environment. We have to counteract the environment. We have to sublimate our instincts and lift these instincts to a level of Gdusha. So, Yisrael represents the concept of struggle, of counteraction, of resistance towards the environment, towards Aesop. Whereas Yaakov represents the concept of integration, of adjustment, of adaptability. Now, the Torah does not advise the Jews to divest ourselves of the name of Yaakov. No! In this week's Seder, the Torah says, Vayeor kinar Yaakov voy divoye mipar la'om Vayvorach, I say, Vayeor yalikim Shimcho Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov, where you call Shimcho Yaakov, Ki Yisrael Yeshmecho, Vayichos Shmei Yisrael. Now there seems to be an apparent conflict. Further, the Rebbeinu Shom says to him, Shimcho Yaakov, and as the Gemara in Bracha says, that this is to be distinguished from the change of name that took place in respect to Avraham. In respect to Avraham, once God added the hay to his name, then he was divested of Avraham. But here, even though he gave him another name, even though God gave him another name, but he was to retain the old name Yaakov. So the question is, if Shimcha Yaakov, if the name of Yaakov is to be retained, if you are to hold on to the heels of Aesop, if you are to keep yourself aloof from Aesop, if you are to integrate yourself within the general community, How can we get there? We call it Shim Hayati, Shim Hayato. How can we keep aloof and integrate ourselves at the same time? The answer is Shim Hayato. On a material level, on a civic level, on an economic level, Dominion, you'll retain the name Yaakov. Don't establish any ghettos. Don't isolate yourself. But on a spiritual level, on a moral level, no Yikoishim Holy Yaakov. Don't try to associate yourself with the children of Esau in fellowship, in drinking together and dancing together, in socializing together. Can you soil Yishmeho? Your name will be Israel. So we saw in the Kiva and Muslim on a spiritual and moral level. So there you have to keep yourself aloof. You have to isolate yourself from the rest of the community. Then you command the respect of the Jewish people. And this is the broche that Yaakov tried to wink at the break of dawn from the lips of the Sari Shalaisal. Now, we know that the break of dawn in the history of mankind was at the time of the French Revolution. That was the time when the nations of the world declared freedom, liberty, equality, and democracy for all. But the motto of the French Revolution was the Jew as a human being should have all the rights. The Jew as a Jew should have no rights. That was the endeavor on the part of Esau, who on the part of the social Esau, who was dressed in the garb of scholarship, in the garb of philosophy and intellectuality, and who was speaking in the name of justice and righteousness, freedom and democracy, will grant you emancipation, but your name has to be on the Yaakov. Sorry, Shalisa said. Oh, Yaakov, you always have to hold on to the heels of Esau. There is no such thing as a Jewish people. Napoleon called together the so-called Sanhedrin of the Jews, and Napoleon was able to wink from the lips of the members of the Sanhedrin that the Jews do not constitute a people. He was able to wink from the lips of the members of the Sanhedrin that he assembled that there is no sin in a Jew intermarrying. They only said, the members of the Sanhedrin, that the Kedushin cannot be held between a Jew and the Gentile woman. It cannot take effect as a king and Kedushin. But it can take effect as a king and the relationship that exists between the husband and the common law. There is no sin. The sin against intermarriage applied only to pagans, but not to Christians. Of course, this is booth, ignorance. The sin against intermarriage applies equally to a pagan non-Jew and to a Gentile. The same idea. But he was able, Napoleon, to reach this statement from the Sanhedrin that he assembled. Why was he so interested in reading such a statement? Because he wanted to imbue Yaakov with the notion that he has only one name, Yaakov. Which means, you're the Yosef Makareikov. He can demand rights, but only as a member of the human race. But as a Jew, he has no rights. He's not the Israel. The Sari Shalaisal was so liberal and he was so enlightened at the break of dawn that he was willing to grant him religious liberty as long as the Jew recognized the Jews as a nation, as long as the Jews will give up their aspirations and their striving to Eretz Israel, as long as the Jews will consider themselves members of the Jewish faith only. As long as the Jews in France will entertain the notion that a Jew in France has much more in common with a Christian in France than with a Jew in Germany. As long as the Jew will consider himself only as Yaakov, as Yodi Hedemar, so then he'll be satisfied. He'll grant him emancipation and equality and liberty with the conviction that in due course he'll be able to convert Jacob. Once Jacob gives up the idea of his soil, of Soriso, Imelikim, Imaroshim, Vatuchal, of struggling against the general environment on a spiritual level, even if he demands religious liberty, but he'll give up his religion if he considers himself only as a member of a certain faith and as a part of the nation in which he lives. But Yaakov did not pledge Ace of Go, the Soy Shall Ace of Go, until the Soy Shall Ace of agreed that, whether he likes it or not, the Jews are a unique people. They are his honor. And that he cannot fulfill his duties towards the children of Yaakov unless he acknowledges that there are certain rights that the Jew possesses, not as a member of the human race, but as a Jew. That was the boy that Yaakov tried to wring from the lips of Esau. Now, someday, there won't be a Shiur English now, but on Sunday, so the Shiur will start at 9 o'clock in the morning, because I have to take a plane to Buffalo.
Ein Amru ze mit Patron, so smoit zu sein Rabbi, mit Patron de Gematria sin da Jew, that's one of the things. That's what I was to pronounce it, because it's one of the things. Sin da Jew. It means mit Sabbat Marchel Tatava. Of course, it is reference to God, and God is designated by that name, because God controls all the workings and operations of nature. He knows and controls the operations of nature. Misadit, Marchei, Hatter. That's what the same of Sindalad Yud implies. Now, Tishmidi Tirbe has reference to the Malach Metatron and Metatron Bizimatria Sindalad Yud. I didn't set up on that. All right. It's bad with that. So what does it mean? That said to the Jews that when they enter the land of Israel, he'll send them his messenger, his malach. He'll watch them in their invasions, and they should be on guard not to revolt against him, because he'll not forgive. This Malach will not forgive. Why? Because the name of God is in him. What does it mean? It's Metatron. And Tatron is the Matthias in Galilee. So there is a remarkable explanation of this passage in the Tiferes Yisrael at the end of this. You can look at that. A remarkable explanation. Now, Metatron is the Sar HaTeva, is the angel of nature. Metatron, as the Meiri explains it, represents the cosmos, the principle of causation that there is nature. And of course, this Metatron is the messenger of God, because all the laws of nature represent the will of God. This is Metatron. He is the Sar HaTeva. Now, Metatron is the Gematria Sin Dalad Yud. What does the Sin Dalad Yud represent? It means Mishadit Marachit Tateva. It designates God as the creator and as the one who controls all the operations of nature. As the one who harnesses all the hidden forces
that in here, you know, in Sabbath Marchitater, Ekter in Sabbath means harnesses, the harnesses, the apparitions, the forces of nature. Now, the Tiferet Israel says that the meaning of the Yonichim Sereach Malach Lefonecho is the Gatzet to the Israelites. While you are in the Midbar, then the Hasgoch is Hasgoch in it. Because God guided the Jews to the Midbar not in accordance with the natural world. Everything in the Midbar was repugnant to the laws of nature. The food that they obtained was not in accordance with nature. It was Hashkochanis. But this Hashkochanis will not last forever. When you reach out to prayer, so then the Hashkocha will be not Hashkochanis, but it will be Hashkocha Tivin. The Hashkocha that is also by God. Nothing takes place in the world without God's guidance, without God's providence, but the Hasgoche, there are two kinds of Hasgoche. There is the Hasgoche Nisus, and there is the Hasgoche Tuhus. The Hasgoche Tuhus is realized through the natural medium, through the laws of nature, through certain psychological approaches. It does not run counter to the principle of Kadosh. In the Midbar, everything was repugnant to the laws of nature. They obtained the food in a miraculous way. They were led in a miraculous way. They were punished in a miraculous way. They were rewarded in a miraculous way. But that was not to last forever. With their arrival in the soil, the Hasgochanitis was to terminate, and the Hasgochatis was to commence. That is the Malach Metatron. Metatron represents the Sarateva. It represents the providence of God through the natural medium. As the providence of God manifests itself through the numerous and multifarious laws of nature. As the way in which providence manipulates all the laws of nature, so as to lead men toward his goal. The Bias Yisrael was established on a natural level. But was it really natural? It was a miraculous. It was in a miraculous manner that the Bias Yisrael was established. It came into being through the approval of all the important nations of the world, including Soviet Russia. And then, a few weeks later, they already changed their position. How can it be explained? That was an act of God. But providence manifested itself through natural media. God manipulated through the medium of the United Nations, through the medium of President Truman, through the medium of a man named Jacobson, who was an old friend of President Truman, and the God manipulated the vicissitudes of history in such a way that we did not destroy him into being. So who was the messenger? Metatron was the messenger. God acted as Sundalajud, as one who manipulates the operations of nature, the forces of nature. So, in some of it on us, Usmabitele, Altamabel, Hiroyusolifishachem, Kishmibitele. Now, until you arrive in Eretz Israel, you did not have to be trained, you did not have to fight against anyone. But when you arrive in Eretz Israel, you have to wage war against the Canaanites. You will have to offer your lives. It's not that God couldn't achieve a victory for the Jewish people without all these risks, without all these sacrifices. God could certainly do it after the Jews arrived in Eretz Israel, just as he was able to do it while the Jews were in the Midbar. But God does not want to do it. Why doesn't God want to do it? The answer is that God wants to guide men as is seed our youth as in Sarah's market forever. He wants to guide men through the natural media. Because if God were to guide men only on a supernatural level all the time, then men would have no task in this world. Then men would be a mere automaton, a spiritual automaton. There would be no purpose to men's existence. The reason as to why life has a purpose and the world in its entirety has a goal is because God wants men to become in shutef to him. And men can become in shutef with the Kavinochel only if God guides men through the messenger metaphor, through natural media. So you have to wage war. You have to wage war against the Canaanites. I'll come aboard to release all of Yisachem. You know why? If you don't train yourself and you don't wage war, so you will suffer. Not because that might is your ultimate determining factor, but it is needed to be. Because God wants the Jewish people to resort in that family. God wants to guide the Jewish people through the Asgoch HaTivri rather than to Asgoch HaNisit. Then you will see that the messenger, how the vicissitude of nature will be manipulated in such a way that everything will conform to the principle of creation. But it will only conform because of God's guidance. Without God's guidance, then you're lost. Then you can't survive even for a moment. So you should know that with the Stachter of Enelem, the Resorbden, the Resorbden, the Resorbden, the Horistorbden, the Sabbath, the Sabbath, the Resorbden, do not think that inasmuch as resorting to the natural media was conducive to your progress, was conducive to your survival, that therefore you can give up and abandon those spiritual values and you can assimilate yourself and integrate yourself within the pagan culture. As some enlightened Jews in the state of Israel thing, as the former prime minister thing, just because the Midnat Israel was established, and it is true that the Jewish national home was a contributing factor towards the establishment of Midnat Israel, that therefore we can assimilate ourselves, raise the Stachelorelem, the Royce of the Rosatic Matalem, but you shall endeavor to destroy the pagan practices that prevail in our society. If you do not endeavor to destroy the pagan practices, then resorting to natural media will not help you. It only leads to your ruin. But it is the will of God that you act in accordance with the natural requirements, that you train yourself, that you prepare yourself, so that you should be able to defend yourself, so that you should be able to wage war against the Canaanites. Because God wants to guide you through the Hashkoch HaTivis rather than through the Hashkoch HaNisis. Now this is Metaphor. And the Ramban says that HaMalach HaGoyelis in the Torah is the same Malach as the Malach of mentioned in Anuch Nisareach Malach Mifanecha. That word is metatren. Metatren should bless the Meorim. Metatren doesn't bless the Meorim, God blesses the Meorim. But God blesses the Meorim through natural media. Through metatren. Metatren is the medium. How does a child develop properly? Now, of course, God could mean that every good child should assert itself properly without the child doing anything, without the parent doing anything, without the teacher doing anything, without anybody doing anything. God could enable a child to develop properly even when he's left alone and abandoned, like the rest of the earth, but God doesn't want to do it. Why? Because the purpose that inheres in the whole creation of the world was that men should become a partner with God. So then, men must collaborate with God. God confers a blessing upon men. He endows them with wealth. Men must collaborate with God and make the proper response. God blesses men with intelligence, and he enables them to acquire wisdom and knowledge. Men must make the response. And of course, that response has to be realized through natural medium, through natural media, through metatron. It is the Malach metatron that can redeem these words. Because without resorting to natural media, then all the potential blessings will merge into a curse. Now, as Chazal says, man yivarechecho ad yishem arotecho b'chira shata ase. B'shor shata ase, b'long b'shor shata ase what? God will bless you, but there is one condition. Precedent to the realization of God. That is, that men must make the proper response. He must be an answer. An answer! God bless you with wealth. You have to take all the measures to situate that wealth is used in the promised house. You have to apply it to the terms of the trust upon which God granted the wealth for you. You must be an answer. In other words, you must be the dedication and the power of the one that was there. And the answer has to conform to all the laws of nature. And you think, Johannes, you must apply yourself completely so that you will be able to utilize the maximum of your potential and to make the most out of yourself. That's the Malach HaGoyim. He's the redeemed angel. If you're not an answer, if you don't respond to the numerous and multifarious blessings that are constantly being conferred by Hashem upon man, then you have the potential. But there is no one to redeem this potential. Only by resorting to natural media can you redeem the potential that inheres within you. In Korivamson, there has to be Chizukata. You have to resort to Mitatran in order to be Mechazik the Bracha, in order to actualize this potential of Bracha that is within you. In Korivam, smooth is in Matai, and in what direction should it be realized into that you should aim to conform to all the ideals that were professed and attained by Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov in Korivam Shmini Shem Amitai. If you are intelligent, so don't apply this intelligence, this potential in building greater war potential, except under unusual circumstances. But otherwise, you only bring ruin to the world. But apply it for the purpose of being able to perpetuate the heritage of Avraham. In Korivam Shmini Shem Amitai, Avraham Yitzchak, the Yidgul Orei B'Kerevoi, so that they should be able to be fruitful and to multiply like the fish in the sea. Now Rashi says, that's the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Masicha Tapiyarim, the Yidgu Kedogim Halolu, Seporim V'Rodim V'Inayim Oro Shilatus Bram. The Gemara says that Yosef will hold Ayin Oro Shilatus Bram. And this was the blessing by Yaakov, that the relatives of Yosef should be like their father, that Ayin Oro should not be shaved against them. What does it mean, Ayin Oro should not be shaved against them? Now, Chazal mentioned a lot about Ayin Oro. Evil eye. And the Ayin Oro does not work through mystical and esoteric media. The Ayin Oro works very simply through the operation of psychological laws. It is not the Ayin Oro itself that causes so much evil, that brings ruin upon man. It is the observation of the Ayin Ra that brings favor from the ruling of humanity. A child, when it's about to grow up, so he notices that another person for whom he has respect and reverence looks at him aghast. He'll become discouraged. And the required block to interfere with his progress. How is the Chizuk realized? How? By giving money now. By guidance and encouragement. By lying favor. You can break a child when it is on the verge of adolescence through the eye by looking at him, and you can make him by looking at him. It all depends how you look at him. If you talk to him and you look at him in an encouraging manner, if the child thinks that you have a nice opinion of him, then he'll become encouraged. You will become inspired and will be willing to work and to dedicate himself. But if you talk to him in a discouraging manner, if you look at him aghast, if you give him an eye in awe, if you look at him with an evil eye, it's not evil eye, it's the observation by the child of evil eye. That has such awful consequences. So, in order that these lads might be redeemed from the curses that inhere in this potential blessing. The potential blessing has not only a bracha, but also a curse. It's a potential for a bracha and a curse.